Welcome everyone to a wonderful new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are honored today to have an incredible artist joining us on our show to talk to us about what they do. We are joined today by the music assistant, score supervisor, composer, just incredible musician, Ian Chan. Ian is currently the music assistant for the pre-Broadway workshop of Smash. They're also the score supervisor for the upcoming Broadway show, The Heart of Rock and Roll, as well as the music director and arranger for Julia Roux at Joe's Pub. He has so many irons in the fire. He does so many things, and we're so excited to dive into what exactly his world is and what he does in it. So why don't we go ahead and welcome on our guest, Ian Chan. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hey, everyone. So glad to be on Stage Whisper and to talk with all of you.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here. So why don't we start by having you tell us a bit about yourself and the roles that you have, like music supervisor or music assistant and whatnot.
Totally, yeah. So the theater music department, right? So there are a lot of people who are working to make sort of the music happen in a musical, right? Obviously, you can't spell the word musical without music. So there are a lot of people who make it happen. It's naturally, there's going to be a composer, right, who writes the music. But after the composer sort of writes the music, has the notes, and creates the melody for the chords, before it can be staged. So often an arranger or a music supervisor is going to take that melody and arrange it, put it, like write a piano part to make it sound what it needs to sound like, and so that it makes sense in the content of the story. Are we going to have a button for the song or not? Are we going to have like ominous chords in the background or something? So that's what a music supervisor does. And then there's the music director or the conductor who then teaches that score to the actors and conducts the show and performance. But in a performance, it's not just going to be just the music director sitting at the piano doing that. There needs to be a lot of other band members playing the instrument. So an orchestrator, which is something I do as well, is the person who takes that piano score that the music supervisor or arranger has prepared and sort of like flushes that out and makes that ready for however many musicians are going to play the score. And then I've also been a copyist or a music assistant in many situations. And music assistant copyist is really important because they're the people who manage to like track all the little changes that are being made in rehearsal and disseminate that to all the people who need to know about those changes. So yeah, it's like definitely a big ladder of things that need to happen in a theater music department for everything, every small change that occurs. So. And I've been lucky enough to be at every sort of step of the way. I've been a composer before, I've been a supervisor, I've been an assistant, and it's all very exciting.
It's so wonderful. I love that. What a great part of the theater that you were exposing and sharing with our listeners. So I'm loving this. I would love to know, how did you come into not just the performing arts, but these roles as well?
Funnily enough, in middle school and high school, I had no idea I wanted to be part of theater. I had sort of grown up like playing classical music all my life, and then thought that was maybe something I wanted to do, or maybe I didn't want a life in the arts at all. But then actually it was coming to college where I started being exposed to musical theater, really, as a genre. I was like, this is so exciting, being able to use music, which I've loved all my life, to tell a story. And I tried to like find as many ways as possible from there to like be involved and get to make these like incredible shows happen. And I went to school in Boston. And so when I saw and was frequented going to the American Repertory Theater, which is up in Cambridge in the greater Boston area, and got in touch with them and was like, hey, is there any world in which I could be part of making shows happen here? And they're just happened to be an opening for a family musical that was going on at the ART, and so they were like, hey, do you want to be part of this? And I was like, yes, sign me up. And that sort of catapulted my career doing these kind of things, and one thing led to another, and now here we are a few years later, and I've moved to New York and and I'm doing the thing here.
Yeah. That's so wonderful. And what a great city to get your feet wet in, up in Boston, with those great theaters they have up there. So wonderful. I would love to know what has your experience been as not only an Asian artist, but also a non-binary artist, particularly in the line of work you do?
No, totally. It's obvious there are very few people who look like me, who do the things, who are doing theater music, and so it's true that like there I am, I think, just like statistically in a minority, right? When I'm doing these projects, when I'm part of these rooms. But I have been really heartened to know, especially in the past few years, that there's been a very clear and concerted effort, I think, among especially members of the theater and music community, right, to welcome more people of color, more people of marginalized genders, right, to be part of the scene. And there are fantastic organizations such as Maestro Music, which is for women musicians and non-binary musicians, and also from Muse, which is Musicians United for Social Equity, who are dedicated to promoting people of color, right, in theater, theatrical music independence. And I myself have found those organizations to be super helpful, right, in my career growth, but also just to get to know more people who look like me, who are like me, who are interested in the same things that I am, and to grow as such. Yeah.
So wonderful to hear. I love that. What things are you most excited about in the theater, either now or to come?
I am so excited about theater because it is such like in general, right? Musical theater in general, because it is such like a visceral and a moving way of telling story through music, which is such a new universal language, right? And through it's such a feast for all these senses, for your ears, for your eyes, and for everything, right? So that's, I think, what drew me to musical theater in the first place. And what I'm really excited about is the fact that in this day and age, we are seeing more stories being represented on Broadway and beyond, right? I think musical theater has it's been difficult to make musical theater accessible, I think, in the past, because there's a lot of, right, for there perhaps a high barrier to cost, right? Musical theater is often limited to specific locations, right, because of like the performers and the personnel that need to be involved in order to make a musical happen, right? But I think what has been really exciting is that we are seeing more diverse stories being represented in our community and outside of our community. And by doing that, we are able to provide an art form that is more representative of the world in which we live. And I think that's really exciting. And I think that this is the time, like now is really the time where that's becoming more and more present, both in the psyche of everyone, right? Everyone is like working towards that, but also just in reality. That because it is existing in everyone's minds, then we are able to make that shift and actualize it. So I think I'm really excited about
That is a stupendous answer. I really love
that.
that. And I want to snowball off that question. And I'd love to know what changes would you like to see made in the theater?
I mean, I think it's the one thing that I really would love to see is for everyone to have access, right, to Broadway, to musical theater, because still it's difficult for a lot of people to see a show again for space reason, for location reasons, and especially for price reasons, right? It's tough. So I would love to be able to see more accessible ways of ticketing, of reaching out to different communities who are usually not people who are used to going into a Broadway theater. Be able to do that, right? Because I think the work that musical theater artists do is so important, right? And I'm excited to see that happen. And I don't have necessarily the answers on how to do that. I wish I did. I think the world would be a better place if we knew the easy answer to make that happen. But yeah, that's hopefully we are able to figure out a way to do that, because I think we all know why musical theater matters to us, but hopefully there is a way for that to be convinced to the powers that be, whoever they might be.
Yes, absolutely. What has been the hardest thing for you to overcome? In the world of music, as a music supervisor or a copyist or a music assistant.
I think the difficulty with being a professional theater musician, I think, is that everyone is so welcoming. I want to start with that. Everyone is so excited to be working with different people. What I love about working in a theater is you always have the chance of working with different people all the time, and you get to know different approaches to like how things are and how things happen, and that's really exciting because everyone has something to contribute and to make, right? To make things happen. But I gotta say, when I first started off in the industry, the learning curve was super steep, right? It's not like a regular 9-to-5 job that you have full time, where you have like maybe a few weeks or not a few months of onboarding, of training, of whatever. The first day you're in the room is the first day of rehearsal, and if you don't do what you need to do on that first day of the rehearsal, if you don't know 100% of what you already need to know, then the next day, whoever you are, your work, like make whatever your work affects is directly affected by that. And if it's wrong, or if it isn't done to the standard that people need it to be done, then that affects everyone, and that's stressful, right? That's tough. And so, I think one thing I had to really learn on the job, right, was like how to make things happen, what people's expectations are. I think that was something that was tough for me to learn, but also really exciting, right? Because I think that's what makes it so such a heartwarming job. So you are working specifically, and even the most logistical things that you are doing are done in an individualized way to help the individual people that you're working with. And so I think that was something that I sort of had to like rewire my brain a little bit to be like, hey, this is actually what we're doing. It's not just like the notes on the page, right? If you're a copyist, or it's not just like the musical idea that you're thinking of as a music supervisor. It's what that thing you made is in the context of who you're doing it for and what the room you're making it in is and who your audience is. And so having sort of that outlook of everything is tied to the people you're doing it for or the people you're doing it with is important.
That's such a wonderful answer. I am loving this. This is fascinating. And it leads to my final question for this first part, which is, what message or thought would you like our listeners to take away from our conversation?
I think one thing I at least I'll put it this way. One thing that I wish that I had heard when I was first starting out in the industry, and something that I would love people to know just more generally about the musical theater industry in which right we work and live, is like, I think if there is something that you want to do or something that you want to see or something you would like to have in the world, I think it's a little bit rich to say you have the power to do it, right? I don't necessarily believe that, but I do think that you have the power to be part of it, right? And you have the power to sort of like enact a little change, which can in turn can lead to a little bit of some other little change. And I think that like we all should feel a little bit empowered, right? To take the things that we are interested in into our own hands, right? And just have that happen, right? For me, sort of like a little Asian non-binary kid, right? I didn't necessarily know that, right, 5 years ago, but I think it was me doing the thing that I wanted to do, obviously with the help and on the shoulders of a lot of people who have helped me along the way. But I think it was important for me to acknowledge my own part in making those steps.
Second part of our interview, we love letting our listeners get a chance to get to know our guests a little bit more. In our case, dive a little bit deeper regarding you. And I want to start by asking you our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Totally great question. I mean, I think for me, it's really important to start with where I started musically, which was classically, right? I think even though I don't consider myself really that much of a classical artist anymore, I definitely find myself influenced by the stuff that I did, right? When I was the piano pieces I played when I was really young and all of that. I still love a lot of like 20th century Russian composers, right? Prokofiev and Rachmaninoff and Shostakovich. Those are sort of my first musical loves, right? I think starting off in the day. And then when I slowly started to get to know musical theater, I love sort of the musicals that really use music as a vehicle for storytelling. I think all musicals do that, but the ones where it was so clear and so vivid, like I see Fun Home in the background of that, and that was one of the most important musicals for me, right? As I was trying to find my voice as a composer and music supervisor, was something like Wicked, right? Which I got to see on tour when I was in high school in Toronto, and that was like mind-blowing to me. And I think in recent years, I've been thinking back towards the songs that I would listen to as a really, really little kid, and how those things have inspired me. I grew up in Hong Kong, and Cantonese pop was a huge part of my life that I sort of like forgot about as I was in middle school and high school, and have started like picking back up now. And so I sort of think about how that sort of like flavor of harmony and of melody has influenced my music, and I think it has a lot. Right? Or I used to, when I was a kid, apparently I used to sing ABBA a lot. So like all the ABBA albums are super influential to me as well. Yeah.
I love that. Who doesn't love ABBA? I'm just saying.
No,
you can't
there you
help
go.
Them
That's
sing along.
literally.
We've now arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that is, of course, what is your favorite theater memory?
It was actually the moment. This was before I had even ever done a show. So this is really, really, really early. This was when I was just getting into college, just having discovered what musical theater is. And I was in a college practice room with my friend Julia Rue, who I still collaborate with to this day. And she, at that point, she had asked me, hey, you play piano. I need someone to help me figure out what's going on in a show I'm writing. And I was like, okay, let's go to the practice room. Let's figure it out. I had no clue what I was doing, obviously. So we sat in this room, and she would start singing her music, right? And I'd be playing along. And slowly, I was realizing, hey, what if I like added this chord here? What if I added a couple bars here? What if I tried revoicing sort of what I was doing the piano here? And all of these little changes. And she'd be like, yes, yes, yes. And I'd be like, yes, yes, yes. And we would all sort of like piggyback off each other. And I think looking back, that was the exact moment I realized that I wanted to do theater music. Because I was like, wow, that sort of joy of being able to take a look at these details and make those details into something that is musically and dramaturgically meaningful was something that I had never sort of experienced before. And I think so, that excitement is that's something that still carries me through sort of like the journey that I'm on right now.
That is such a wonderful memory. What a unique origin story too. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Sure, yeah. There are two musicals that I'm writing and orchestrating right now that I'm really, really excited about. One of them is called The More You Know. It's a musical that I'm writing the music and orchestration for, along with my book writer and lyricist, Chloe Levine, who is one of my dear friends. And it's a musical where these four high school kids who are part of this academic competition called Quiz Bowl. And they sort of make a Faustian deal with the devil because they think that they have to win the national tournament or else they're never going to get into college and never going to have a future or everything. So they make a Faustian deal with the devil to try to win. And obviously shenanigans ensue and their lives turn out much worse than they thought it would. So I'm really excited about that. It's a super fun show. And the other show that I'm really passionate about is called Out. And it's very personal, a deeply meaningful show to me because it's about these three queer Asian American kids who live in California and who sort of have varying relationships with their families, with themselves, right, and with other loved ones in their lives. And it's a musical for me about, it's a coming of age story about what they owe to themselves and to their families. And yeah, those two shows are currently in development, and I can't wait to see what the next chapter brings for them.
That's amazing. Those two shows sound incredible. I want more from them. I'm already hooked on them. This is great. So that kind of leads to my final question, which is if our listeners want any more information about you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Absolutely. You can go to my website, which is www.ianchan.net, or they can go to my Insta, which is at I'm Ian Chan and then _ at the end.
Wonderful. Well, Ian, thank you so, so much for stopping by today and sharing your incredible insight and story with us. This has been so wonderful. I'm so excited for all the projects you're involved in, everything you're creating. I cannot wait to see them. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on stage. This was awesome. I'm so glad to have been able to chat with you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. My guest today has been the incredible artist, music assistant, score supervisor, composer, and many, many hat wearer in the arts, Ian Chan. Ian's got a couple of musicals in the work, but also right now he is the music assistant for the pre-Broadway workshop of Smash the Musical, as well as the score supervisor for the upcoming Broadway show, The Heart of Rock and Roll. He's also the music director and arranger for Julia Rue, which is having a performance at Joe's Pub later this year. Ian does such amazing work. You're going to love anything he's involved with. So make sure you check out their work. You can follow them at ianchan.net. Also on Instagram at @IamIanChan_. We're going to have all this information posted on our episode description as well as on our social media posts, but make sure you stay on top of everything that they're doing. They're going to be continuing to change the music world in a huge way. So we are so excited we got on the ground floor with this. But make sure you give Ian a shout, follow them, and check out all their upcoming productions. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
The Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.
Broadway, Paris, where I don't care.